today on Real Radio.
By ministering and serving one another, we become more like Jesus. That's what it's all about. So don't avoid church, get into church. Yes, it's true, church attendance can't save you. But can I add this? I believe that if you are saved, you're going to want to seek out the family of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that we're no longer citizens of this world, but we are in fact citizens in fellowship one with another.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack brings us part of his year-end series of messages. Yesterday, we heard some of Pastor Jack's real-life basics commentaries. Now, if you haven't seen or heard these, check them out on our free smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Meanwhile, let's continue with more of Pastor Jack's Real Life Basics commentaries.
The Bible makes it very clear that we need to be people of God exercising spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's that beautiful list of gifts given and the very purpose and the intent. You know, it's interesting because so many people are ignorant of their spiritual gift, but the Bible right there says in verse 1 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, that we are not to be ignorant of our spiritual gifts. So I want to ask you, as we kind of walk through this real life moment here together, do you know your spiritual gift? Do you know your function in the body of Christ? What I often tell the church here is that, can you go in and out of church and nobody knows that you're even here? Then unless someone's dependent upon you attending church, then you're not exercising your gift. You need to be dependent upon, because you will be used by God using that spiritual gift. So a few things you want to keep in mind, Christian, is this, that God the Holy Spirit is the one who imparts the gifts. We are to be asking God to show us what gift or gifts He wants to give us. And it's pretty amazing because the Bible says there it's the same Lord, which means He's the Lord over the church, He's the Lord over the gifts, and He's the Lord over your life. He wants to use you mightily. So keep that in mind. And that's awesome when you think about how the body of Christ is to come together. Now, I want to warn you something right now. A lot of people today bail out on church because they don't like the way things are going. They're doing the exact opposite of what God would have us to do. Get involved in your church. Exercise your spiritual gift, humbly giving glory to God, and watch the body of Christ grow healthier because of you playing your part in the body of Christ. Paul the Apostle is going to tell us in 1 Corinthians 12 that we should pursue love and, of course, all these other things, but that we would also pursue knowing what our gifts are. And our gifts are to be used always, always in love. So, Christian, I want you to be focused on the fact that God wants to use you. If you today say that your Christianity is boring, it's because God's not using you. Listen, I promise you, if you're yielded to what God wants to do, you will not be bored serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we should be zealous to know what our spiritual gifts are, that we can be used to edify the body of Christ, build up the spiritual building of what God has decreed. When you look at the book of Ephesians, for example, chapter 4, another list of gifts are given, where God says to us that we ought to pursue these gifts and find out if God's not calling us to be maybe apostles or pastors or teachers in some capacity, again, to edify the body of Christ. You kind of get a theme out of this, don't you? That God wants you to know your gift so that you can be fulfilled, and at the same time, your local church can be blessed by your contribution to the edification of the body of Christ. Christian, get used by God. There's no better way to live. And so it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. Once you become a Christian, what do you do after that? We see people, and thankfully so, we see people going forward at a crusade. We see people coming forward at church. We see people raise their hands. We hear of people in their hotel rooms making their commitment to Christ. But what do you do after that? Does God save you in the moment? And then what? You're put on the shelf until the day that you die or until the day the Lord comes back? What does it mean to be a Christian? I think more than ever, we need to understand that. To be a Christian today is, first of all, to make that decision for Christ. You say, what does that mean? Well, in that initial realization is, I can't save myself. The gospel is Jesus Christ saving me. And when I think about being saved, what is that all about? Being rescued from my sins and given a real life. And so what do you do after that? And this is, to me, the most exciting thing about being a Christian. Number one, God loves you and He wrote you a love letter. It's called the Bible. So you begin studying and reading the Bible, finding out what God has to say to you. The Bible says of itself that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable to instruct us in the ways of righteousness. That means God breathed out the Word of God for us. If God is God, and He is, and if He's able to save us, and He is, then He's able to produce and keep for us the Bible, and He has. Well, listen, that's important because the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that His Word is a lamp and a light to our path and to our feet in this world. You and I need guidance. So once you become a Christian, you start walking after God. Can I put it this way? Getting saved is your first step. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven in that very instant, in that moment. But that step begins a brand new life of pursuit after God. The Scripture says also that the Word of God is powerful. So in studying the Bible, in reading the Bible, it winds up taking root in our hearts. We wind up having the Word of God take control of our lives. It's supernatural. Pick it up and read it and watch what happens. The Bible says, I've hidden your Word in my heart, Lord, that I might not sin against you. And the second thing is that you start actually dialoguing with God in prayer. Just strike up a conversation with God. A lot of people today will have an advertisement or a challenge saying, join the conversation. Join the conversation in this and join the conversation in that. Well, listen, God wants you to join the conversation. He's been talking to you for years, and now that you know Him, it's time for you to nurture a communication with Him. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, that is coming before God, make it natural. It's a supernatural thing, but make it a natural response of your life. The next thing is to find a Bible-teaching church. You say, well, how do I do that? Get your Bible, get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, contact us, we'll get you a Bible. But when you open up that Bible, what you want to do is when you go to a church, you judge that church based on the Bible. Don't go to a church because it's got a steeple out front or it's got a cross on the building or it's called a church. Go to the church because it's teaching the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the early believers in the first century continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in the teaching of the Word of God. You need to go to a Bible-teaching church. Be careful about that now. They're kind of hard to find these days. So you look for a Bible-teaching church. And then the next thing you want to do is dive into fellowshipping in that church. What does it mean by fellowship? Listen, you hang out, you spend time with, you get to know other Christians and people who love God. Can I say this? Find someone, find a group of people in your local church that, frankly, you are impressed by their Christianity. Don't tolerate stuff with them. No, what you want to do is find Christians who love God, that are crazy about doing the Word of God, that are radical for Jesus, and then be with them. And the next thing I want you to consider, which is so vitally important, it's kind of terrifying if you think about it, but boy, is it life-changing. What God is doing in your life, what you're learning, tell others. Share your faith. Tell others about what you know. Tell others about what God has done in your own life. The Bible tells us, how will those around us in our world ever know the gospel unless people are sent to them? Well, listen, that person is you. That person is me. God desires you and I to tell others about what He has done in our lives. And the Scripture tells us very plainly, again, it's a supernatural thing, that by natural conversation, a supernatural thing happens. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Begin to talk Bible. You know, the Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3 that God listens to our conversations. And when we talk about Him, He listens in and then writes those conversations down in His book of remembrance. Isn't that cool? Just like you overhear a conversation of somebody and it strikes you or it makes an impression upon you, God is longing to see you and to hear you talk about him among other people, and he delights in that and he listens in. What an exciting thing. I want to end with this. The more you determine to pursue God now that you're a Christian, the more God will reveal himself to you. The Bible tells us that his eyes scan to and fro throughout all the earth, looking for someone whose hearts are complete toward him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Don't you want that? I want that for you. God wants that for you. And if God wants that for you, I think it's something that you ought to enjoy. Let's pray together right now. Father, I ask you that you would do an amazing work in our lives. Father, I'm asking that you would take all of our doubts and wash them away by your great word. And Lord, that you would also do as you promised through the prophet Daniel, that those who know their God shall carry out great exploits. So Jesus, we come before you and we ask you to make us radical believers. Listen, I hope you've prayed that prayer. Listen, it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. God bless you. You know, one of the dangers that surfaced in our modern day Christianity is the fact that, for example, in the 70s and in the 80s, you heard messages all the time that Jesus was coming, Jesus is coming. And I gotta tell you something, I lived through that era that Jesus could come at any moment. And it was very exciting. I wanna encourage you. It's more exciting to me now than it was back then. You say, Jack, why are you saying this? Because a lot of people today are saying, well, Jesus didn't come in the 70s and the 80s, and so I'm not gonna wait around any longer. Really? Be careful. Are you sure you wanna do that? The Bible says in the last days that all this stuff's gonna happen, that people are gonna give up on that hope. They're gonna give up on that excitement. So what you wanna be careful to do is to not lose hope, not give up. In fact, we're closer now to his coming than ever before. So somebody might say, well, my parents said Jesus was coming back. My grandma said Jesus was coming back. Well, instead of taking that data and acting wrong or conducting yourself in an unwise manner about it, what you want to do is say, oh my goodness, Jesus is all that closer. Listen, get ready to meet the Lord. What does that look like? Get busy. Get busy for God's stuff. Get busy doing God's stuff. Get out on the streets. Give people food in the name of Jesus. Witness to your friends. Be so busy about our Father's business that when he comes back, you're going to get caught not goofing off or being lazy or being slothful or having, as Jesus said, your oil run out. No, you're going to get caught doing the things of God. So listen, friend, join me. Let's do this together. Let's live for God. Let's go all out. Now's the time. It's never been later than it is right now. So follow Jesus. So look, it's my hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. Okay, so we've got Instagram, we've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, we've got the ability to text. We can communicate to one another all over the world. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing, actually, and I appreciate that. So do you. But if we can do that so easily, why is prayer then such a strange concept to so many people? A lot of people think that prayer is something that you've got to conjure up, or if something's really bad, then we're going to pray. Oh my goodness, it's so bad, let's pray. But God didn't give us that avenue of prayer to just have it in the moment of crisis. Prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. God wants us to talk to him. Our conversation with God is, in fact, prayer. The Bible tells us that we should be praying without ceasing. You say, well, Jack, how do I do that? How do I pull over? Or how do I work when I'm supposed to get on my knees and pray? Because my friend, listen, you don't have to get on your knees and pray. You can. And listen, I think that's a great thing to do, but you don't have to do that. It is an attitude. It is something that is in your mind. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, it is having the understanding that God is always listening. Jesus said when his disciples came to him and asked, Lord, teach us to pray. I love that. They saw the need to connect with God in prayer. And then Jesus, of course, turns to them and says, this is how you pray. And it is a wonderful, wonderful dialogue with God. When we pray, we're speaking to God. And because God is a person, he will speak back. And you say, well, how does he speak back? Well, first of all, he's God. He can do anything he wants. He may interrupt your thoughts. You may pray in the morning and find out that God is answering you in the afternoon. And He'll make it clear to you. Another great thing about God answering our prayers and speaking to us is by the Word of God. When you read the Bible, that's God speaking to you. In fact, it's amazing. How is it that you can pray to God in the morning and then pick up the Bible and read in the afternoon or in the evening, and He answers you? How does He know? Again, He's God. In fact, Jesus said, "Your Heavenly Father knows the things you have need of before you ask." You say, ah, there's the funny little catch. If God knows, then why should I ask? Because listen, everything that you and I do with God is based on faith. Faith is that interaction with God. Until we see Him face to face, we relate to Him in faith. So when we pray, talk to Him, He answers back through His Word, through circumstances, and we know that it's Him speaking. What happens? Our faith is increased. The Bible tells us also, and boy, listen, this is needed today like never before. The Scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, that we ought to be anxious for nothing. You shouldn't worry. You say, how can I overcome worry? Because listen, He says, do not become anxious for anything at all, but by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the God of all peace will garrison, surround your heart. When God answers you, it brings peace. When you're seeking direction, pray. You don't have to start, listen, you don't have to start Twittering your friends, Facebooking people. You don't have to, go to Wikipedia to find out what you should do with your life next. As easy as those things are, think of this. God trumps it all. It's easier to pray. Just, you need to nurture that. You know how you pick up your phone right now or you text somebody? How natural it is? That same simplicity should be happening in your prayer life. Don't make it more difficult than what God wants it to be. It just needs to be an ongoing dialogue between you and God as you live your life every day. Don't make prayer a difficult thing. Rather, make it a constant thing. And you will find God strengthening your heart, answering your request, and leading you and guiding you in the most simplest ways. Hey, let's do it right now. It's that simple. Father, I ask You in Jesus' name that You would open up my eyes and my heart to what You want to do in my life today. God, I give You myself. I surrender to You today. Lord, lead me. And as I pray over the issues of my life, relationships, finances, vision, purpose, direction, Lord, speak to me in such a way that I know it's You answering. And Lord, give me the heart to obey Your wonderful answer. Father, I thank You for Your presence in my life, and Lord, may I right now nurture an attitude of prayer, and may I enjoy an ongoing dialogue with You. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Listen, it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, You will know real life.
You're listening to a special edition of Real Radio. We're presenting some of Pastor Jack's Real Life Basics commentaries. Here's more.
Hey, we've all heard as Christians that we should be reading the Bible. God tells us to read His Word. Jesus said that we're to be in the Word, that if the Word of God, He said in John 15, dwells within us, we may ask of Him what we desire and He shall be done unto us. That's an amazing thing. Think about it. What's the big deal about being in the Word of God? Well, the Bible is God's eternal Word, and the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The Scripture is inerrant in the original languages. You can trust the Bible in all kinds of ways. But when we are commanded and encouraged to read the Bible, our first step should be that it's firm, it's sure. The Scripture says that all Scripture, all of the Bible, has been given by inspiration of God. That means it's been breathed to us by God, and that it is profitable for us. The Bible also says of itself, the book of Hebrews, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Think about that, like a scalpel. It says it's able to divide and pass between the joint and the marrow, the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. The Bible is divine and supernaturally energized. The Bible goes on to say of itself in Psalm 119, verse 105, that His Word, God's Word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto the path that you and I walk on and live on. The Word of God is sure. So Christian, listen, the more we're in the Bible, that means the more the Bible is in us. if it's inside of us, then whatever happens in your life on any given day, watch this, the Word of God comes out. Listen, if we drink something, let's say we drink a lot of orange juice, or you can drink a lot of something, and if you sweat, eventually the smell of that or the influence of that will come out. If you ingest something and you were to lose your stomach, it would come out. Well, listen, the more you take in the Bible, the more it comes out. Why are so many Christians today struggling with so much of their life's issues when they should have victory over them? Does it mean that the Bible, the Word of God, is powerless? No. It means that I, a Christian, have not been tapping into the power source. That is, there's not enough Bible in me. Christian, this is actually, I want to say, a trick. It's not a trick. It's almost so simple, it's ridiculous. The more we have the Bible in us, that means we've got to sit down and read it, listen to it, ingest it, the more we are equipped to live every day with victory. So I want you to think about that. I want you to meditate on that. And as you take in the Bible, expect God to do radical things. Hey, listen, the Bible says those who know their God shall carry out great exploits. That's a promise. So I'm going to be looking for God to want to do great things in my life. Expect Him to do that. Listen, again, knowing the Word of God, walking in the Word of God, seeing the Word of God. It's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life.
We've been listening to Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. We're presenting some of Pastor Jack's Real Life Basics commentaries. Here's more.
Hey, one of the most important things to do as a Christian is to attend church. A lot of people today are kind of putting that down. A lot of people are attacking church. And I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they're supposing that the church is some perfect place. Listen, as long as you and I attend a church, it's not going to be a perfect place. It was never intended to be a perfect place. A church is a place where God has ordained and created, where you and I would fellowship together. Find a church in your area that teaches the Bible, and might I add, is dependent upon the person of the Holy Spirit. You can then be guaranteed that Christ will be exalted, and there will be growth in that church. And part of that growth is going to be you. One of the greatest things about being in a church family is that it is a living, breathing organism. It's not the building. If the building's little or big, if it's ornate or simple, it doesn't matter. You make it the church. And look, don't fall for that baloney that would say, just stay home and do church in the house. And look, if you're somewhere in the Antarctic, I understand that. But if there's a church within your area, get to it. You might say, well, Jack, I don't want to get involved with people. They're weirdos. Listen, that's called ministry. Probably in someone else's opinion, you're a weirdo, and I'm a weirdo. This is the family. It's the family of God. By ministering and serving one another, we become more like Jesus. That's what it's all about. So don't avoid church, get into church. Yes, it's true, church attendance can't save you. But can I add this? I believe that if you are saved, you're going to want to seek out the family of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that we're no longer citizens of this world, but we are in fact citizens in fellowship one with another.
We've been listening to Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in some of his commentaries called Real Life Basics. Real Life Basics is one of the many features that you can easily access through our free smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Next time on Real Radio, we'll hear more of Pastor Jack's year-end messages. This is God's Will for You This Year is the title. That starts on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we are coming to the end of 2015 and welcoming in the new year. And if you're thinking about a worthwhile New Year's resolution, here's a good one for you. The One-Year Bible. We at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the One-Year Bible at the start of every year, and we invite Real Radio listeners to join us. It really is a terrific way to hide God's Word in your heart, as the psalmist put it. You can purchase your own One-Year Bible at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.